I'm Clay Jones with CSJ Land and Cattle in Nacogdoches, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
The outlook for cattle prices remains pretty optimistic for producers. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, we'll hear from one of the nation's top market analysts.
The closure of Texas' only remaining sugar mill means only two states in the U.S. now produce sugar. I'm Jessica Domel, and we'll have an update from Washington, D.C. coming up on Texas Ag Today.
It's always good to get out and look at the country every once in a while, and I'm finding pretty good wheat crop and optimism for spring planting as I travel. Hello, I'm Barry Muller, and I have the story in today's report.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is continuing to move toward an electronic identification system for livestock. The agency issued a new rule requiring official ear tags to be visually and electronically readable for interstate movement of certain cattle and bison. Ben Weinheimer, president and CEO of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, says cattle feeders support an electronic ID system to enable a quick response to a disease outbreak.
If we ever did have a very unfortunate reintroduction of foot and mouth disease in the U.S., it would be devastating, have catastrophic consequences for the cattle producers and our export markets and trade. And so the quicker that we can diagnose the origin of any outbreak of that nature, get it isolated, and work to reopen those markets and get our business back to business as usual as quickly as possible, that's the intent behind really moving forward with this electronic identification devices on cattle.
One big objection to an electronic ID system is the cost. USDA announced $15 million in funding to help offset the cost of new tags. To get those tags, contact the Texas Animal Health Commission. You may not have heard of corn stunt disease, but it has been dropping yields in Argentina this year by 10 to 15%.
Corn stunt disease is a disease that is caused by a spiroplasma that is actually transmitted by leafhoppers in the field.
That's Dr. Darcy Telenko, Associate Professor of Plant Pathology at Purdue University. She says it's also been detected here in the United States, including right here in Texas.
Generally here in the United States, we have detected the disease, but it's been a minor issue. It's mainly been found in the southern part of the United States, in southern Florida and Texas. And I know you're talking about they're having major issues in Argentina, but here in the United States, it's been around for a while. So that I have reports that they found it in California in 1996, and they continue to find it. But generally, we don't think it's leading to significant losses here in the United States. I would keep an eye out, I guess, if I start hearing more reports out of Texas or Florida, where they might start seeing a little bit more infection since it's already been documented there and they've seen in California. So again, we'll monitor that and we'll keep an ear out with our counterparts that are in those states if they start seeing a problem with it. So I'm hoping it's not a disease that we're going to have to worry about.
Corn stunt disease has caused yield problems in Argentina. They recently dropped their corn production forecast by 6.5 million tons due to recent impact of the disease and insects. The outlook for cattle prices remains optimistic. James Hunt visits with one of the nation's top cattle market analysts.
At Texas A&M AgriLife's Hemp Hill County Beef Conference last week, I caught up with Troy Appelhans. He's the senior market analyst for Cattle Facts, and looking at where things are headed this year, Appelhans says we should expect cattle markets to continue moderate upward movement.
not that prices are done going higher. It's just that they're probably not going up near the rate that we saw last year. Still feeling like that we can average somewhere in the mid-180s in terms of fed cattle prices this year. Feel like that we can be near the mid-250s for feeder cattle. And calf prices, we feel like, again, as we go out there into the fall during the heart of the run, we should have really, really good support around 270, 275 based on a 550-pound U.S. steer average. But during the year, we're probably going to average somewhere in the upper 290s to $3 on those types of calves.
But Apple Hans says even as producers enjoy stronger prices, they need to stay focused on keeping their ultimate customers satisfied.
What makes me most optimistic is we've got the highest quality protein in the world that we're producing today. And the consumers have proven that. Demand's been pretty good up to this point. But, you know, that's one of the challenges going forward is what is demand going to do? How much can the consumer afford? We know that the economy is a big part of this, right? And credit card debt continues to rise up. Energy prices, food inflation in general. Demand is the biggest concern, but the opportunities are there for us to continue to raise the highest quality product that those around the globe are in desire of.
More from Troy Applehans of Cattle Facts tomorrow as he shares some thoughts on the challenges of navigating what can be some pretty wild fluctuations in the markets. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The closure of Texas-only sugar mill is getting a lot of attention from lawmakers. Jessica Domo reports from Washington, D.C.
In February, Texas lost its only remaining sugar mill due to Mexico's failure to comply with the terms of a 1944 water treaty between the U.S. and Mexico. This week, we caught up with Ryan Weston, the Washington representative of the Rio Grande Valley Sugar Growers in Washington, D.C., to discuss the closure of the mill and the impact it is having on Texas agriculture and the U.S. sugar industry. Weston confirmed to us that the mill in the valley, which had been open for 51 years, closed because Mexico was not reliably delivering the water that valley farmers need to grow sugarcane and other crops.
Unfortunately, Mexico is not giving the water owed to the United States under the 1944 water treaty. We're over 800,000 acre feet that is now owed to the United States by Mexico under that treaty. You have to have the water to grow crops. And to give you an idea, there's 500,000 acres in the valley that need water to grow all kinds of crops. We just happened to be the first one that was really heavily impacted. Mexico starved us of what we needed. 3 years ago, we had 125,000 tons of sugar produced. Then we had 77,000 tons of sugar produced. And at the end of this year, in February, we only got to 44,000. Mexico absolutely starved us of the water we needed. And now it's going to start impacting other crops. We lost over 300 jobs in the mill. So our 100 family farmers that were working for the sugarcane mill, they've got to look to other means.
The loss of Texas' final sugar mill and its sugarcane growers means only two states continue to produce sugar.
We're down to just Florida and Louisiana. So when you want a good footprint and domestic production of a crop, it's pretty dangerous when you get down to only two states left making a food product that's in the over 70% of food on the shelf.
Weston said there is still a lot of sugar production in Louisiana and Florida, but there's also the risk of hurricanes and other natural disasters.
You just have to realize when a hurricane hits or you have a drought or a freeze in certain parts of the country, you hope it doesn't affect the entire growing area. So that's something that just happens. That raw sugar that was produced in Texas used to get barged up the intercoastal and actually got refined over in New Orleans. So you're impacting everyone. Even though Texas was a smaller state, it was very important to make sure you have every cog. When you go through something like the pandemic, you want to make sure you've got every domestic source you can have. And even worse, the Mexicans were keeping water on their side of the river, and they were producing fruits and vegetables that then cross over in the United States and compete against domestically grown fruits and vegetables. None of this was right. And we really need the State Department to put some more pressure on. And actually today we just saw Senator Cornyn announced that he is pushing the State Department. And basically their spokesman said, if you aren't going to deliver water, we may look at curtailing funding of the State Department in the upcoming appropriation.
As Weston mentioned, U.S. lawmakers and groups like Farm Bureau are pushing for action to ensure that Mexico holds up its end of the 1944 water treaty. We'll have more on those actions on our next show. From Washington, D.C., for the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Spring is bringing a lot of optimism to farmers in the Texas Rolling Plains. Barry Mahler has this update from Wichita Falls.
I've been traveling the last couple of weeks and seeing some of the rolling plains give me a chance to see what's really going on out the country. I'm in Amarillo today, and I noticed as I came west from my home in Wichita County, the further west I traveled, the more dry the conditions seem to be. Now, the wheat at home is very good. The rains have fallen just right, and some unusually cool nights have been very good for yield potential. I've seen some sprayers running and some long days over the last few weeks to try to beat the rains to apply fungicide to the wheat, as there's widespread evidence of leaf rust that will severely affect the yield if it's not taken care of as the plant heads. As I travel west, the wheat does not appear as good as it does at home. It seems to be a little more mature, which would indicate drought stress, but it's still a pretty good-looking crop for a lot of folks here on the plains. A couple of reports ago, I talked about wheat being a multi-use crop, and quite a few acres have been cut and baled for hay. Now, this is not unusual, as the cattle market is very strong, and the grain market's sitting at a level right now that will probably be below cost of production for anything other than just top yields. It's encouraging to see how many rolls some of the wheat is produced as it's baled, as that is generally a signal that the crop is very good. Spring planting decisions are being made, and it's going to be tough with the cost of production and weakness of the grain markets. Corn and milo are going to be hard to get to a profit level, so there'll be more cotton planted than we would have expected just a few months ago. There have been some rains up in the panhandle in that suffered area from all the fire damage just a couple of months ago, and it is greening up some, but it's very important to get grass established before a hot, dry summer that is still being predicted, by the way, for a large area of the Southwest. A good growth of grass is vitally important, not only for production for grazing, but also for conservation of that land that is so vulnerable due to erosion without proper cover. So hopefully rain will continue there over the next couple of months, and I realize our weather forecasts aren't always accurate, so maybe we can avoid the heat and drought of summer as farmers are moving forward as best they can, just out there trying to produce a crop.
This is Barry Mahler reporting from North Central Texas for Texas Ag Today.
May is a severe weather month in Texas. People need to have a safety plan when severe weather such as thunderstorms and tornadoes are headed their way. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more on Texas Ag Today.
And the FDA is proposing new regulations for animal drug labeling. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feeds, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're heard on over 140 great Texas radio stations. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
May is expected to bring more rain and severe weather to Texas. Tom Nicoletti has another visit with the National Weather Service.
My guest from Fort Worth is National Weather Service meteorologist in charge, Tom Bradshaw. And Tom, we are here in the month of May, and people need to be up to speed on what to look for when it comes to possible severe weather, tornadic activity, and give us an idea of the severity of those tornadoes, whether they be an EF0 or an EF5.
We are definitely right in the heart of severe weather season for the state of Texas. April and May are the two top months of the year in terms of seeing any kind of severe thunderstorm activity. You speak of tornadoes, and definitely that's probably one of the biggest threats that we have. Wind speeds for tornadoes generally range from anywhere from the 65 to 75 mile per hour range up to 200 miles an hour in general. The challenge for us is that it's hard to know exactly how significant a tornado is going to be when we issue a warning for it. Folks, when they receive a warning, they need to plan for the worst. You certainly want to take any steps that you can to have a safety plan in place. Know where to go within your home or a business where you're at. Small room, interior part of the building, away from windows. Those are the main things that folks need to strive for when they get a tornado warning. regardless whether you live in a rural community or the heart of a city, you need to have a safety plan. You need to know how to receive warnings. You need to know how to receive weather information, have multiple ways to receive that information, and then once again, have a safety plan. Regardless of what kind of structure that you live in, you want to know where you're going to go if you receive a warning, and you need to move smartly to be proactive in terms of doing the things to keep yourself safe.
That is National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Bradshaw in Fort Worth. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The Food and Drug Administration is proposing new regulations for animal drug labeling. Dr. Bob Judd has more on those regulations.
The United States Food and Drug Administration is proposing new regulations to provide animal drug sponsors with predictable requirements for the labeling of prescription and over-the-counter new animal drugs, as well as new animal drugs for use in animal feeds. The FDA indicates this proposed content would also benefit veterinarians, animal owners, and animal producers by providing a more consistent presentation of information on the safe and effective use of animal drugs. The FDA has long followed certain practices for reviewing animal drug labeling, but these practices have not been codified in regulation. If finalized, the rule would create for the first time a comprehensive set of regulations establishing requirements for content and format of the labeling of approved new animal drugs in the code in one location of federal regulations. If the proposed regulations are finalized, existing labeling guidelines for approved new animal drugs would be amended or removed as appropriate to be compliant with the final regulations. The FDA is accepting comment on the proposed rule 90 days from the date of publication in the Federal Register, and the public should submit either electronic or written comments on the proposed rule by June the 10th to ensure the agency considers your comments of this proposed rule before they begin work on the final rule. You can submit comments electronically via the federal e-rulemaking portal or in writing to the Food and Drug Administration in Rockville, Maryland. The submissions must include docket number FDA 2023N5160. That's FDA 2023N5160. For more information, you can search the web for FDA proposed new animal drug labeling.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to TexasFarmBureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Wednesday. Cattle futures ending sharply lower again. News that the federal government is testing ground beef for the H5N1 virus has weighed heavily on the market for the last couple of trading sessions. June live cattle dropped $1.12 to close at $173.85. August down $2, $171.10. With October down $2.20, $174.85. Feeder cattle getting hit hard again. May feeders down $3.15, $241.42. August down $3.75, $251.75. The September down $3.87 at $252.60. Cash fed cattle market seeing some sales this week in the Northern Plains. We've seen sales at 185 to 186 on a live basis, 294 dressed. That is steady money compared to last week. Here in the Southern Plains, no sales to report yet, but we do see feedlots asking 185 to 186. Boxed beef prices lower, choice down 45 cents, $2.93.92. Select down $1.01 at $2.88.94. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Our guest is Riley Rhodes from Live Oak Livestock Three Rivers. They sell every Monday. Riley, how was that sale?
Went good, Larry. Ended up with 1,410 head today, just about like it was last week. Market better than last week. Cows were fully steady to maybe $4 higher in spots. Calves, kind of the same deal, 4 to 6 higher, mostly, you know, straight across, but on the lighter weights especially. Did have some pretty good pairs, bring 1350 to 2550, some bred cows, 1250 to 2200. High yielding packer cows, 132 to 140. Breakers, 118 to 134. And the canners, 90 to $1.12. High yielding packer bulls, 148 to 158. Low to medium yielding bulls, 118 to 148. 2 to 3 weight choice steers, 368 to 410. Heifer mates, 334 to 392. 3 to 4 weight choice steers, 340 up to $4. Heifer mates, 316 to 382. 4 to 5 weight choice steers, 330 to 392. Heifer mates, 288 to 344. 5 to 6 weight choice steers, 270 to 318. Heifer mates, 240 to 262. 6 to 7 weight choice steers, 264 to 288. Heifer mates, 222 to 250. And the 7 to 8 weight cattle year choice steers, 228 to 246. And the heifers, 216 to 232. So pleased with the market today. Had a few extra players in the house, and that always helped. And the quality of the cattle were really good today, too. So it turned out real well.
Glad to hear it. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you so it'll turn out good this next Monday.
You betcha. 361-786-2553 is the office. 361-813-6650 is myself. LiveOakLivestock.com is the web.
We appreciate it, Riley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Neighbor, it looks to me like that's it for today's edition of Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. My guest, Riley Rhodes. I'm Larry Marble, your host. Good day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs took a big drop. May hogs dropped $1.12, closing at $93.02. June down $2.05 at $100.42 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk was lower. May milk down 11 cents, $18.27 a hundredweight, with June milk down 18. 1848 a hundred. Triple digit losses again in the cotton market. We're hitting some of the lowest prices we've seen since November of 2022. Traders keeping an eye on interest rates. The Fed left them unchanged at 5.5%. July cotton dropped 192 points, closing at 76.51. The December down 166 points, 75.17. Corn finished higher, with May corn up 3 3/4, 4.43 and a quarter. September corn up 3 1/4, 4.59 a bushel. And a mixed close in hard red wheat. May wheat up 2 3/4, 6.25 1/2. July down 10 1/4 at 6.25 a bushel. May Chicago wheat down 3 1/2, 5.81 1/2. In the energy markets, June natural gas was down 6 cents, $1.92. June West Texas crude oil down 2.79 at 79.14 a barrel. The financial markets higher, the Dow up 218 points, 38,033, the NASDAQ up 59 at 15,717, the S&P up 9 points at 5,044. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.